All right. So we're going to go back a little bit here and just kind of go through just some quick review in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, if I wanted to start reviewing, we can even start in, let's just say, chapter 5. You don't have to go there. I'm just doing some quick reminders of what we have been learning earlier. And we know that in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus went on a mountain, and sometimes this is called Sermon on the Mount, and he went up there and taught those that were, in a sense, they were just new to the words of God, in the sense of these new teachings, because before they were just taught the laws, and it brought no life. It actually brought, in a sense, spiritual death, because it was far from what God's intentions were. And so he talks and he teaches and he says, blessed are the poor. And he goes on and teaches many things that they need to know. And it was actually point blank teaching, in the sense that he taught exactly what he needed to teach. It was on the forefront. He didn't hide anything. He was very specific in what they needed to know. And in chapter 6, he continues on with the Sermon on the Mount. And he continues to tell them what the kingdom of heaven is like. He continues to expose to them the truth of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know that the Israelites were looking for a Messiah. And from the church leaders that were teaching the things of God, they were teaching the things of God to the Israelites, but leading them astray because of the burden of the law and following every little thing that went on. If you didn't do it, you weren't spiritual. If you do this or you don't do that, you're not spiritual. And God had to change their way of thinking. God had to expose the truth. And so that's why he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount as well. But the Sermon on the Mount is not just about their present time. It also applied to us, but also applies to the future. And so it was important for him to teach these things because he needed to change their mentality. They were so steeped in the law. They were so steeped in the do's and don'ts. They were so steeped in legalities. They were so steeped in rituals that it was so far from what God had intended for them in their relationship with God. It actually had made them stray from their relationship with God and made them closer and to the laws. And then we go to chapter 8 there. In chapter 8, we see Jesus Christ and his miraculous healings and teachings through these healings. And why were there healings? Well, we know from the Old Testament that it was important for him because of his care for the people, but also it brought to light and opened up the truth and brought to light that he is the Messiah through the Old Testament prophetic words. It proved, his miracles proved that he is, and at that time was, the Messiah that they need to look for. Because they were looking for a Messiah, especially the leaders, who would get rid of the Roman government right then and there and judge them and then put the Israelites in power. They were looking for a political Messiah more so than a spiritual Messiah. And so he needed to change their hearts. Even today, may I say this, that a lot of people are looking more for a spiritual Messiah than Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, they're looking more for a political Messiah. Let me strike that out, what I just said earlier. They're looking more for a political Messiah. A lot of hearts are looking to politics. They're looking to government to save them from every catastrophe that's going on. But we can see that historically, it's a repeat of everything that goes on. Instead of looking for a political Messiah, we ought to keep our eyes on the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then we see in chapter 9, he continues on with healings. Chapter 10, he calls for the 12 disciples. He picks the 12 disciples, and then he teaches them how to share the gospel, not to the Gentiles at first. He shares the gospel to the Israelites. And it was important for them to go to the Israelites first, because that's the way God would intend it. Everything goes to Israelites first and then the Gentiles. judgment will come to the Israelites first and then the Gentiles. That's just his divine way. And so he was teaching them, listen, this is how you are to share the gospel to the Israelites, because there will be division. And he prepared them as well, that there would be division, that when you went out, when you go out there to share the gospel with the Israelites, there will be big pushback. You will be rejected for my name's sake. But take heart, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then he goes on in chapter 11 to continue to teach. And then he also gives a judgment upon the cities. Why? Because these cities, as in chapter 11, verse 20, he had done mighty works in these cities, but it says there, they did not repent. And so he gave a few woes to a few of the cities. And it lets us know that, you know, when you have been given great exposure to true light, then there is a great responsibility with the true words and the greater words that you've been given. The greater the words that has been exposed in the heart, you have been given greater responsibilities. But these cities did not turn to Jesus Christ. And so he said that they would be judged because they had not turned to Jesus. The burdens were so heavy for the Israelites, that's why Jesus says in those words that also comfort our hearts, he says, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give, come to me, all of you who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it was so important for the Israelites to hear those words because they were burdened, heavy burdened, by what the religious people were teaching them. And so this is all important. We need to know these things. We need to be reminded of these things because it even applies to our lives today. We can burden ourselves. We can take on burdens from other people and so get so focused on the burdens, get so focused on what spirituality means. And sometimes we start taking in things like, if I do this, this, and this, if I create a formula to do this and it works. Because sometimes we do things in a certain way and we think, oh, wow, I've been blessed this week. I have answered to prayer. And then you kind of go in your mind what you did to get those blessings. Sometimes you think, well, I remember reading this chapter. I remember praying. I remember doing this, 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 and this. I remember giving this parking spot to this person. And I think sometimes we can get in the habit of thinking, because I've done this, this, and this and formalized it, we start doing those patterns to other things to get more blessings. And so we add those burdens. We bring on more burdens to ourselves. And Jesus is saying, come to me, keep your eyes on me and focus on the truth of Scripture. Focus and get the Scriptures into your hearts. When you start worrying, when you start getting burdened, I would say, turn to Scripture, grab your Bible and read the Bible. Don't start figuring out in your own head what it is that you need. Go to the Bible right away, pray and ask the Lord and seek the words of God. And you'll see that all of a sudden there'll be a change, that you'll get the answer or you'll have peace. Because God says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, not the heavy burdens, not the worries, not the concerns, but let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So we don't focus on the peace. We focus on Christ, who is the giver of peace. And then in chapter 12, now we're seeing a conflict. And now we're seeing the buildup of rejection to Jesus Christ, as in chapter 12. We are seeing this because Christ healed and he delivered many from demon possession. And when he did that out of his love for people and also proving the Old Testament scriptures that he is the Messiah, the nerve of the leaders of Israel, this is how blasphemous they were. They were saying that Christ was blaspheming. claiming that he's the Messiah. But really, they were blaspheming because they were attributing the works of Christ to the works of Satan. When you start rejecting Christ, I mean, this is just straightforward logic. This is just straightforward. We know this, but it's so veiled in people's hearts. But we know this as genuine believers. When you keep rejecting Jesus Christ, when you can get to the point that you attribute the works of Christ to Satan, you are on that cliff of doing the unpardonable sin. They committed the unpardonable sin, in a sense, by rejecting Jesus over and over and over and over again, and then attributing the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. They were attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of Satan. When that happens, you are very, very close, if not, committing the unpardonable sin. And because of that, judgment will come. And so now we see Jesus as he was in the house. When we left off, he was in a house. And in this house was his disciples and a large crowd. And I can imagine this large crowd that he couldn't even get out. There was no exit. There was just no way of getting out because there was multitudes of people. Outside was the mother and his brothers. And then they said, listen, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. They'd like to talk to you, because we know from the book of Mark in one of the translations, they thought he was out of his mind. And so they were going to go there and calm things down. Maybe they even thought, listen, the religious people are looking at you really in a bad way, and you need to calm this discussions down. You need to stop harassing them. Whatever they were going to do, they were coming to talk with Jesus because they thought, the brothers thought, he was out of his mind. So it's amazing that even his own brothers, stepbrothers, thought that Jesus, their stepbrother at that time, was out of his mind. But later they came to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it's interesting that as they said, your mother and brothers outside, what does he say? Here are my mothers and brothers, pointing to the disciples. He says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He's not dissing his mother. He's not dissing his brothers. He's not putting them down. He's just saying, listen, what's just as strong and even stronger are those who believe in me as the Messiah. That bond is stronger than those of your natural family. And that's so true. You will have families that don't believe. I'm not saying that your bond with them is not strong, but your bond with your brothers and sisters in Christ is as strong or even stronger because you do the will of your Father in heaven. And so he was addressing that. And now we come to chapter 13. And on chapter 13, he leaves the house. And on that same day, Jesus went out, in verse 1, of the house and sat by the sea. Because there was a great crowd, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. It's interesting, the old Spurgeon there once said, that's the way we should take our posture. When Jesus is teaching, we ought to stand at attention and not fall asleep. But it would have made sense for him to go into a boat. It wasn't anything spiritual. It was just the perfect way to teach, because the boat and the way everything lined up there would have been a perfect amphitheater where his words would have carried properly across the water from the position of the boat to the people standing on the shore. One translation talks about them standing on the beach. So these guys were beachgoers, the beachcombers. And then he spoke many things to them in verse 3. In parables. You notice that it says in parables. We notice that in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke straightforward. He said, blessed are the poor. He said it the way it was. And now he's speaking to them in parables. Why? We're going to see that in a moment. And he says in this first parable, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus told this parable, this story. And the first one is, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the wayside is really uncultivated ground. I want you to picture, let's say, a farm field. And beside that farm field is a road where people would have walked over, animals would have trampled over, and it's uncultivated. It's hard. It's very hard. It's a very hard surface. And so the sower would have taken the seeds, and the way they did it back then, it's not like the modern farming today. They would have had the seeds possibly in a bag on their side, and they would have just scattered it in a very methodic way to make sure that they could scatter it properly so that it would cover much ground. Or they would have had it, say, in their shirt. You know how you grab your shirt so that you can carry something in it? So they could have put the seeds there as well. And so this sower sowed these fields, and one fell on the hard ground. And we notice that the birds came up and devoured them. And then it says some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So we also see another planting of these seeds. The seeds were planted on a surface that was hard, but just above it was a thin layer of soil. So there was a hard surface and a thin layer of soil, and some of the seeds fell on that. And we know, if any of you have done planting, I have not done much at all. I'm just learning these things as I read the Bible. I've learned about agriculture through the Bible. But a thin layer of soil, and when you plant that seed and it tries to grow, the problem is the roots can't go any further because it's only a thin layer of soil, and so it dies and it withers. It just can't take the beating of the sun and the water. It needs, as we know, or you know, I'm only learning these things, that the root has to go way down into the ground in order for a plant to thrive. It can't just be a thin layer. It needs to really dig deep. And so this particular one was on a rock with a thin layer of soil. Okay, remember that. And so because of that, it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And then the third one is, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. So this one here, the seeds fell among, in a sense, good soil. The soil was fertile, let me just put it that way. But also in that fertile soil was thorns. And so it was growing up beside the thorns. And because of that, it was being choked by the thorns, the weeds. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then we have the fourth one where it says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he's saying, I want you to really pay attention to these words, he says. He who has ears. In other words, you need to make sure that you have the ears to pay attention. Because some people have ears but don't really listen. Anybody have people that they know that you tell them things and they look like they're not really listening? It's like there's a cloud over their eyes. I'm not just talking about spiritual things you're talking to them. You're sharing a story with them, something funny that happened to you this week, and it's just like it just went over their head because they have ears, but they weren't listening, right? So this is what Jesus is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay close attention, he's saying. And then we're going to find out what the meaning of this parable is. But before he tells us the meaning of the parable, we're going to understand why he's speaking in parables. And so Jesus is asked by the disciples. And then the disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? You see, he who has ears will dig into more. If you don't understand things, what's the best thing to do? You ask, right? When we don't understand something, whether if your spouse is speaking to you, or if you're speaking to friends, they're teaching you something, or they learned of something, and you don't understand it, what's the first thing we do? We say, I don't understand what you mean. Can you tell me what you mean by that? So it was their ears, they were listening, because they said, why are you speaking to them in parables? And what are parables? Really, the meaning for parables means to throw alongside. So in other words, it's a heavenly meaning thrown alongside an earthly story. Very important to understand that. Now, one thing to understand, very important thing to understand when it comes to parables, is that parables are not meant to be taking every detail of the parable and making something spiritual of it. You can get into a lot of problems if you take every detail of the parable and read too much into it. A parable generally has one meaning, and you don't look into every single wording of what that is and try to make that's an allegory. An allegory would be something where you take everything to mean something, but a parable is not that. It is a heavenly teaching from an earthly story. So very important to understand that. But we do know that Jesus will teach us in two parables what the meanings of some things are. And when he teaches us those meanings, it's important that from one parable to another, it stays consistent. A big teaching word they call that is expositional constancy. In other words, if he says that the bird represents evil, then in another parable, the bird would stay the same as representing evil. I don't start coming up with my own thing saying, oh, the government is the evil. That bird represents the government. And so that can get me into a lot of trouble. You want to have what's called expositional constancy, which means if Jesus tells you that bird means this, then it should be the same in every other parable that he says. And don't look into every single word to mean something. It's the big picture. As Gabriela says, I always seem to say this word a lot, but it's the 30,000 foot view, okay? It's the macro, not the micro, all right? So very important to remember that. Don't read too much into a parable. Understand what Jesus means about the parable, and it's usually one good meaning, all right? I want to let you know that. So he says, well, let me tell you why I am speaking in parables. Interesting that before that, on the Sermon on the Mount, he was straightforward in his teachings. Now he's giving them in stories. And he says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. Wow. So he's letting us know, he's teaching his disciples back then, that I want you to know that what I'm going to be talking about in the next few verses here has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? From the time of Jesus Christ's resurrection up until the second coming of Jesus Christ. But to them it has not been given. Why? Well, forever. Remember this. This is a complete important verse that we should really understand and take to heart. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Please take this to heart. And he will have abundance. Let's not talk financial here. Do not read into this as financial, okay? He's talking about spiritual truths about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, but whoever, listen to this, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. It is so important, brothers and sisters, what God has given you. That's why I implore you to study your scripture. We have this, North America has many, many Bibles, many, many churches. They have been given much. For what purpose? For spiritual abundance. Yet they don't even open their Bibles to read any verses and to study the truth. And because of that, judgment will come upon those who have been given much but refuse to read their Bible. And what will happen? Even what he has will be taken away from him. So important, brothers and sisters. We do not want the words of God. We do not want the things of understanding of God to be taken away from us. We want the abundance of spiritual understanding because it is for our benefit. Okay. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. This is a judgment upon those who have hardened their hearts over and over to spiritual truth. And we need to pay attention to this, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for myself, and what I'm praying for is our family members. I am praying, Lord Jesus, for our neighbors, our relatives. Oh, God, that they would see. Oh, God, that they would hear. And oh, great God, that they would understand. You see, in which the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, this is from Isaiah chapter 6, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Why? Why? Is it because God is cruel? No, it is because of the receiver. The receiver is the one being judged because of why. Look at the next verse. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. My brothers and sisters, do not let your hearts grow dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Do not let your ears go hard of hearing. No matter what you're going through, no matter the pains that you're going through, no matter the suffering and trials that you're going through, seek God. Never let your hearts go dull. Never let your ears stop hearing. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and what? And turn, so that I should heal them. You see that? Jesus doesn't want them to not perceive. Jesus doesn't want them not to hear. He wants them to turn so that they would be healed. What happened in Isaiah chapter 6 then came true again in the days of Christ when he was here physically on earth. And it's happening again today, folks. History repeats itself because these people have darkened their hearts to Jesus Christ. And you need to pray. We need to pray as a body of believers that God would unveil their hearts. And what does he say to those who are believing? What does he say to those who have childlike faith and say, I just want to know more, Lord. I need to know more. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, for our, just our family members and those who we know. I pray, God, that they would see and hear and just know you. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see. Look at this. We think the prophets are great, which they are. Isaiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, they're great. But listen, look at what Jesus says. I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. Think of all the things that they wrote. Think about what Isaiah wrote about Jesus Christ. He didn't know it was Jesus Christ, but he was seeking, saying, who is this that I'm writing about? I want to know who this is. But that during that time that they were writing it, they didn't know. But you know, because you have the Bible in your hands. You know the truth. You know who they were writing about. And so, for assuredly I say that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And now he says, because of that, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Okay, Jesus is now going to give us expositional constancy. Take from this and apply it to other parables. All right? Do not start reading into the parables on your own thinking that this means this and that. No, let's look at it in light of scripture of what Jesus tells us. He says, therefore, hear the parables of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Okay, here's number one. The word of the kingdom is the seeds. All right, that's the seeds that the sower was planting. And the first one was this. We know that the birds, because it says here, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. We know in the previous verses that when the seed fell on the ground, what took it away? He said the birds. So we know in this case, expositional constancy, that the birds are the evil one, is the evil one. And then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So it was on the hard ground, the seed was there, and the devil took it away. That is, what we're seeing now, what we're going to read now, are the different types of hearts that receive the teaching about the kingdom and the word of the kingdom. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Then verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, remember the stony place with the thin layer of soil, the seed fell on that. And what happens here? But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. You ever hear of people that are emotional? They receive the word and they just get on this emotion. It's all about emotions. Woo! How? Wee! Woo! Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great, but listen what he says. Yet he has no root for in himself, but endures only for a while. Because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Listen to this, what's the problem? For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. His eyes was not on Jesus Christ, was not on the teaching of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. It was on tribulation and persecution. And so he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns, we remember that one, it's the fertile soil, but the problem is there was thorns growing up with the good plant. And it says here, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Pay attention to this one as well, folks. It has to do with what? This one, they couldn't receive the word. Because their focus was not on Jesus and his words. It was on what? Their focus was on the riches of the world, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Let's all pay attention to these, folks. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The different types of hearts that receive God's words and receives the word of the kingdom, the teaching about the rejection of Christ to all the way to the return of Jesus Christ. We see that 3/4 of the teaching, they didn't receive the word. Only 1/4 received the word. I think it's important that as we read this, sometimes we like to look, oh yeah, that's about them. It's not about me. Listen. I think it's very important that as you read this parable, you ask yourself, where am I in this? Because just because we've been Christians for a long time doesn't mean we can't fall into any of these categories. So I'm saying, woe to you who falls into the 3/4 category. But the great news is Jesus has told us these things and we now need to turn to Jesus. So that we can see, so that we can hear, and our eyes can be open to the truth. You do not want to be any of these 3/4. You want to be the 1/4. You don't want to be any of these 3/4 about not knowing what the kingdom, the coming kingdom is all about. We need to know these things. We don't want the bird to steal the words. We don't want to have our hearts grow on a rocky place or alongside thorns. We want to be those that our seed multiplies, becomes fruitful, not unfruitful. And that's why we get together as brothers and sisters in Christ as well, to study the words of God, to point one another to Jesus Christ, and as well as you study the words of God on your own. So very important that we need to ask ourselves, and I speak this in love, where am I on this area? Where am I? And then he says in verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. You see what he's saying there about these parables? The kingdom of heaven is like. So these parables, he's saying, it's about the kingdom of heaven. I'm trying to teach you these. He says, one, disciples, I need you to learn these things because the kingdom of heaven is like. And then in verse 24, it says, a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the crop, when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. We're going to continue in knowing what this is, but if you want to do this on your own, you can find out what this is, because all you have to do is go to verse 36 and you'll find out exactly what Jesus is talking about, because it's important to know what this parable means, because it's happening today in our very lives. What Jesus is teaching right now is happening right now in our very eyes. And it's so good to know this. Why? Because Jesus lovingly warns us. Jesus lovingly teaches us so that we are not uninformed, but informed. And because of that, we can know of our blessed hope. So very important to study your words. And I pray that God, this would be a blessing unto us. That God, you would help us to really truly understand these things and not fall into not to fall into the three-fourths that were unfruitful. Help us to be fruit bearers, Lord Jesus, because the time is near. Again, it says in Ephesians 5 that to redeem the time. And when he says redeem the time, it means use every opportunity for the kingdom of God, for Jesus Christ. Redeem the time because the days are near and it's evil. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for exposing the truths. May we not turn from your truths. Help us to grow in your truth, grow closer to you, to keep focused in you as we sing right now to you, our deserving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Olivia said that Pia was taken to emergency. She was complaining of her tummy, but the family doctor told them to go to emergency. They suspect it could be appendicitis, so it could be her appendix.
Okay, I'm going to share that out there.
Yeah.